Welcome to another edition of In Focus here on 88.1 MyFM and LanarkLeadsToday.ca. I'm Bob Perot, and it is Wednesday, so that means we are joined by Dr. Lena Lee, Medical Officer of Health at the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit. Dr. Lee, welcome back.
Hello, hello.
It is good to have you here, and also good to have back Jennifer Adams, Manager of Clinical Services. Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Bob.
Well, there's been a lot in the news about Group A streptococcus. Dr. Lee, can you tell us what it is and what are the symptoms?
Yeah, so Group A strep is a bacteria that is in the big group of streptococcus bacteria, which is a word that doesn't mean that much, but essentially it causes what is probably most well known for most people is strep throat, but it does cause many, many other effects on health. Many people who have the bacteria actually never get sick, and it's commonly found in lots of different parts of the skin and in and around the throat and the nose for people just at baseline. And many people never get sick, but some people do. I talked about strep throat. Other mild illnesses can include skin infections. Oftentimes, it's accompanied by fever. There are other illnesses that it can cause, so scarlet fever, rheumatic fever. It can cause quite severe illness as well, so meningitis, as well as the risk of severe skin infections. And that's the piece that we get concerned about at the health unit, is when we have something called invasive group A strep, which is when the strep bacteria go into the body and cause severe disease. I should note that people who have strep throat don't have a higher risk of getting the other forms of illness caused by group A strep. There are different types of group A strep, and different types tend to cause different types of illness. And what we've seen is that if you've had a strep throat infection, at least in kids where there's the most research, those kids with the strep throat infection are not more likely to get the invasive group A strep infections compared to kids who haven't had the strep throat infection.
You talk about research and history and so on. Infections of strep is nothing new, correct?
Yeah, we've known about strep for a very long time. The infections right now, we're in what I would consider a high season of strep, both because it tends to be a little bit worse in the winter months, and also because there's a waxing and waning of strep infections and severe strep infections globally. There's patterns that are sort of years long, and so we're in a global pattern that's on the higher end now. We are seeing that across Ontario, and specifically within the LGL region, we are seeing higher amounts of invasive group A strep as well in that sort of global context.
All right. Jennifer, where does it come from?
Yeah, so like Dr. Lee said, it is a bacteria. Typically, it'll enter through the bloodstream or deep tissue. Sometimes it will be through an open wound or the nose or throat, like Dr. Lee had indicated. Typically, it's passed through direct contact with infected skin areas or through airborne droplet contact. I think, too, of note, a viral infection such as influenza may contribute to the group A strep invading the body more readily, making those infections more common, like Dr. Lee said, in the winter months.
So I have a feeling when I ask this question that you're going to talk about a number of things that we have talked about a few times in the past, and that, of course, being ways to prevent infection.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, we want to, of course, stress hand washing, washing your hands, especially before cooking or eating, trying, of course, not to touch your mouth or your eyes or your nose, those kinds of things. Keeping, really important, and keeping cuts and wounds clean and watching for any redness that might be spreading or worsening or any other signs of infection when we're looking at wounds. Oh, we always are saying stay home when you're sick so you're not spreading it to others at school or daycare or in your workplace or other activities, as well as, of course, practicing good cough etiquette, coughing into your sleeve, sneezing into your sleeve, those kinds of things. There is no vaccine to prevent against invasive group A strep, but getting vaccinated against other infections such as flu and COVID is also a preventative measure, as those infections typically will leave you a little more vulnerable to other infections, such as one something like this. Families should be mindful that lesions sometimes caused by chickenpox may also become infected, especially if they're scratching lots. There's lots of open wounds, and we want to make sure that we keep our kids protected with their routine vaccinations as well.
So, Dr. Lee, what should we be watching for?
Yeah, so we're really thinking about situations where people feel unwell. So you may have a prolonged fever, you may have difficulty breathing. Sometimes this infection can give you a swollen tongue called a strawberry tongue, which is quite evocative. The rash that you get can be purple, it can be red, it can be spotty, it can be pinpoint, it may have streaks. And oftentimes it's described as a rash that's out of proportion, or the pain is out of proportion for how bad the rash looks. So the pain is a lot more than the rash might look. And sometimes it can be even sandpapery or quite rough to the touch. For kids especially, a lot of this is going to be based on, well kids versus unwell kids for a number of illnesses, which might include severe or serious group A strep infections. So kids that are groggy or hard to wake, also kids that are not drinking, or not eating, all of those are concerns. The main thing about strep infections is that where they become serious, they can progress quite quickly. And so having some of those healthcare resources handy is helpful. So there is a East Region virtual care clinic for people, which, like the name says, is virtual. So that's an option. Calling Ontario 811, so that's 811 just on your phone, will connect you with a nurse, and you can get d advice that way. If you have a healthcare provider, going there, and d generally not waiting to seek care if you feel that you're concerned.
All right, now Jennifer, we'll close with this. Who is most at risk?
Yeah, so there's several different categories of people that are more susceptible, and those would be people with already weakened immune systems, those with long-term illnesses such as cancer, diabetes, kidney disease, or on any special medications such as corticosteroids may be at higher risk. Children between the ages of 5 and 9, and those adults 65 plus. One of the two other groups that are particularly impacted by invasive group are also people who are underhoused or who are experiencing homelessness, and those individuals who may be injecting substances by route of IV are also at particularly high risk.
So, Dr. Lee, again, I have a feeling I know the answer to this question, but if people would like to get more information about this and perhaps on some other local programs that are being offered, how would they go about doing so?
Yeah, so I feel like I can say, say it with me, everyone. It's healthunit.org, healthunit.org. We also, if people call us, then we have nurses who could speak to people if they have general health questions or general questions about their issues. If you do have concerns about whether you have an infection such as this, the people to call would be, of course, your healthcare provider, 811 virtual clinics, lots of options out there.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for this, Dr. Lee and Jennifer Adams. Always a pleasure to have you on. We look forward to our next conversation.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
That's going to do it for another edition of In Focus here on 88.1 MyFM and Lanark and Leeds Today, or make that lanarkleedstoday.ca. We'll be back with another edition tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.